Hi, and welcome to Her, the podcast all about women, where we share the naked truth about her mind, her body, and her life. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and I'm really excited to have Dr. Doris Day on with us today to talk about, what's going on down there? This episode of Her is sponsored by WellFit Malibu, the premier healthy lifestyle retreat destination where you can recharge your life hiking and frolicking on the majestic Calamigos Ranch overlooking the Pacific Ocean just outside of LA. Learn more at WellFit.com.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life.
It's all about her.
All right, on this episode, we're thrilled to have Dr. Doris Day, our go-to dermatologist on all things, well, what's going on down there, which is exactly what we're going to discuss. Dr. Day is a board-certified dermatologist who specializes in laser cosmetic and surgical dermatology in New York City. She's affiliated with Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City and NYU, and she's received numerous awards for her wonderful work in laser research, teaching, and for promoting the field of dermatology. Her book, oh boy, Forget the Facelift, Turn Back the Clock with Dr. Day's Revolutionary Four-Step Program for Ageless Skin. Dr. Day, welcome to Her Radio.
Having me, so great to be with you.
Wonderful. So, during this Her podcast, what we're going to be talking about here is what's going on down there, pubic hair trends. Oh my gosh, I almost fell off my chair when I was reading this very recent study that came out in the Journal of the American Medical Association Dermatology version, and it confirmed just how widespread the practice of, well, grooming pubic hair, shearing it off, is. 62% of a nationally representative sample of 3,000 women said they opted for complete removal of their pubic hair at least once. 84% reported some grooming. Dr. Day, what's going on with all of this?
Well, being a dermatologist, we are experts in everything skin, hair, and nails, even down there. And that's an area of long-standing interest for many, many women. So it's gone through lots of trends where it's been from leave all the hair to eliminate all the hair and or just trim the area. Some of it is for just style and grooming and preferences, but some of it was considered to be for health reasons as well. Now, it's important to know that as animals, we are covered in hair, and that hair does provide some protection against the outside world. But as we've evolved and as we've come up with other measures to protect ourselves from the outside world, we don't necessarily need quite as much hair, and then it becomes more of an accessory.
Uh-huh. So, you know, pubic hair per se was supposed to have a protective cushion for sensitive
exactly.
skin, and it
right.
has its own hygienic purpose, trapping bacteria, preventing it
yes.
from entering the vaginal opening, and
yes.
that's why prepubertal girls have a higher incidence of irritation because they don't have that protection. So I need everyone out there in her land to understand why, if this is supposed to be protective, are we taking it off?
Well, it's supposed to be protective, but again, right now we don't need quite as much protection because we have other hygiene practices. So in the past, when you couldn't have, you know, as much in the way of clothing or protection or even ability to clean with soap and water and bathe on a regular basis, it might have been more useful. But now it really is more of an accessory, and not having hair is not the issue. More of the issue is how people get rid of the hair. So if you look at the trends and techniques, there's things like waxing, shaving, lasering, and just trimming, right? So part of that is what happens in those processes. So for right now, laser is most effective for people who have light skin and dark hair and no suntan. So it's not an usual area where you tan. And some people also try to remove all the hair, and that's a personal preference that makes some women feel more either sexually attractive or feel that they enjoy sex more without the hair there. So it becomes a real personal preference. Their risk of infection and other issues doesn't necessarily go up as long as they generally have good hygiene. So the hair can serve a purpose. It's certainly fine to keep it, but really it's become a point where it's more of an accessory than it is truly protective. The area where I see the greatest problem is in women who decide to wax, because what happens with waxing is, first of all, you have to grow the hair long. Then you put on a cloth a substance that's incredibly sticky, whether it's honey or some other chemical that's also warm. If it's too warm, it can burn the skin. But otherwise, the idea is that the hair should be super long so that when you put that strip down with the sticky substance on it, and then you rip it off really quickly, you're actually yanking so hard, and the length of the hair gives leverage to pull the hair out, ideally from as deep as possible down to the follicle. Now, that's a traumatic event that...
I'm sorry, Dr. Day. My legs are crossed. I mean, right now I'm wincing. This is officially a cringeable moment. And it also recalls a study that noted that 3% of emergency room visits for genitourinary trauma are the result of this grooming, especially waxing burns, as you just said.
Yes.
And also related to that, what we call, you know, inflammation of the follicle, folliculitis, abscesses, lacerations, allergic reaction to all the funky things we're doing with the waxing, vulvar and vaginal infections. Ouch!
I know.
Oh,
really, really
goodness.
Horrible. I know. So bad. It's terrible. And if you're prone to something like herpes and you have waxing, that can stimulate it as well. So,
good point.
Yeah. You should take a Valtrex or Famvir or Acyclovir, one of those medications, before, not waiting till you get the rash, but actually taking it before the rash, and that's called situational prophylaxis. So when you take those meds, you can take it when you have the rash to treat it. You can take it all the time if you get many breakouts, and that's just pure prophylaxis. But situational prophylaxis is if you know you're going to be in a situation that would tend to make it flare or recur, you just take it even before you have the rash, just for that period of time. So around waxing, it would be the day before through 3 days afterwards, just a pill twice a day, depending on which one. And the same thing is if you know that sex brings it on and you're going to have, you know, sex, and it might be, you know, a new partner or somebody that you might be intimate with for a while, and that extra stimulation might be a trigger from the friction, then again, in that situation, you would take it. And so that's helpful to know about yourself for that. There's, you know, it's no big deal. You just take the pill and then it's fine. But to me, waxing is the most traumatic and least desirable way to remove hair in that area. It's very painful. And that has, like, as you mentioned, the highest case, not just of burns, that's technique, but also of ingrown hair, folliculitis, and infection after. I see women on a daily basis who come in with dark spots and bumps, and then what happens is they decide that there's an ingrown hair, and then they try to take it out themselves, and they make a mess of it. And I tell them, you know, if you're not a dermatologist, you're not allowed to try that. You just, you know, if you want to go to med school and derm training.
This is one of those do not try it at home deals.
No.
There's
and
no question.
Tempting.
Well, you know, you and I both have seen previous research that showed that women tended to groom mostly to facilitate sexual activity. But now this survey, this new one that just came out, found that the overwhelming majority said that they did so for hygiene, and that when the researchers were actually talking to many of these women, women were perceiving themselves as, and I quote, dirty and unclean if they haven't groomed. You, as a dermatologist, how do you feel about that kind of reaction from women?
Well, I think that's unfortunate. I think they're misguided, and there's usually what happens is that a magazine article comes out someplace that says something, and then it gets kind of sensationalized and misinterpreted and rehashed, and somebody just determines that it's better to not have hair there. So it's really not true. If you just groom, if you just, you know, bathe regularly, you can, that hair is not a problem at all. So if you really don't care, then it really doesn't matter. And for most people, it's just not an issue at all. It's very, very rarely an issue. And it can be as much of an issue depending on how you remove it as it is to keep it. So I have not seen anybody who didn't groom in any way in that area have issues over a long period of time. And if you sweat a lot in that area, and that can be one area, one time where I think grooming might be helpful, because if you do sweat a lot and you have a lot of hair, that can absorb heat and create moisture, and you can maybe have an increased risk of some yeast overgrowing there, but that's really, really uncommon, and there's ways around it. So there's absolutely no need to groom. It's a personal preference. It is purely for aesthetic or just personal reasons that make somebody happy. But in terms of medical need, for the vast majority of people, it makes no difference at all whether you keep the hair or remove the hair in that area. And then if you remove it, you have to be so careful how you do it. And if you have, I think shaving is the best, and there's ways to shave, and I'll tell you why. But, okay, so I'll start with why. Shaving is the best to me.
Yeah, tell us why.
Because, well, because if you do laser, ideally the hair is permanently gone. So for me, laser is good to do a cleanup. So if you wanted to do the sides and the top a little bit, just to have kind of a more contained area. So let's say you wear a bathing suit or a bikini, you don't have to shave the sides as much. Like, that's an area where, let's face it, sometimes it just overgrows, and having that hang out outside your bathing suit area is just not the best thing. It's just not socially acceptable.
And oh, it's the hairy bottom part. That's what we always call it, the hairy bottom of your bikini. And it's like, what is that growing outside your bikini?
Oh, dear. Not good. Right. That needs to go. And that, when you shave or wax, can get really irritated. So if you're a good candidate for laser hair removal, if you have light skin, dark hair, then laser is great for that, because you want that permanently gone. There's no reason to keep that, and you'll never, it'll never be a trend to have that hair there. So,
well, can I ask you a quick question about the laser? Okay, so someone comes in, they want to do this. What's their prep for the laser? Should they have longer hair? Does it matter how long their hair is?
No, it matters a lot. No, it matters a lot. That's a perfect question. So if you want to do laser hair removal, light skin, dark hair, no tan. The coarser the hair, the better the results, faster. Then to prep is, you do need to shave the hair the night before or the morning of, depending on how fast your hair grows. The reason why is that the laser reaches pigment deep in the follicle, but it still tracks down and will absorb some pigment along the way. So if you have very dark skin, then some of the pigment of the skin is going to pick up the laser before it reaches a follicle, and your risk of burning goes up. So we have to lower the energy level, so you have to use less energy, and you don't get quite as good results, and you still have some risk of burning. So someone who tans very easily, or who has, you know, skin of color on the darker side, wouldn't be a good candidate. But we could really pretty much go across a broader range of skin types with the newer lasers that we have. So the next thing is, if the hair is too long, the same problem will happen, is that the hair itself will absorb a good amount of the energy. So by the time you get to the bottom of the follicle, some of that energy is dissipated, and the hair that heats up along the way is now going to land on the skin and can burn the skin. So you need hair present. If you wax before, there's no follicle, there's nothing for the laser to target. So the hair has to be present. That's why you shave it, but you want it as short as possible. So shaved short the night before or the morning of is the best thing to do to get the most out of each treatment. And the other thing that's really important is to be on time for your treatments at 1 month intervals, because you need to get the hair in a certain part of the cycle as it's growing back. You don't want to give it a chance to regrow and kind of get stronger and become more resistant. So if you do treatments, you have to commit yourself to 1 month apart treatments for 4 to 6 times, and depending on the laser, permanence for laser, according to the FDA, is considered 2 years. So the way I look at it is that some of the hair will be gone, and it may grow back, but so slowly that in your lifetime you just won't see the hair again. Some of the hair will grow back finer, and some hair will be more resistant and will take more treatments. But even if you shaved, it'll still grow back much, much slower.
Very interesting. So with the shaving, let's go to the shaving place. What kind of shaver?
shaving is really interesting as well. Shaving would be not actually, you know, if you add up the cost of shaving over a lot of time, lasers might ultimately be less expensive. And when I talk about the laser, the last thing I'll say there is I like the idea of kind of doing a general pattern of kind of cleaning up so that you can wear a bathing suit comfortably. And then if you kind of want to have fun on a date or just to feel good or just to play, you can shave to the pattern that you like. And then, you know, if styles change or your mind changes, you can always grow the hair back. As opposed to laser, once it's gone, it's going to be hard to really grow it back the way you want. And as I see women who get older and they lose hair there too. And so they sometimes have regret and wish that they didn't do laser or something else because now they kind of want the hair. It makes them feel younger to have more hair, and they don't like not having hair. And so so if you're young and you're thinking about removing all the hair with a laser, I would say don't. Just do a cleanup and do a modified something because later on you may want that hair back and it may not be an option. Now, if we move over to laser.
Well, can I ask you a question then? This is really important because mm-hmm. I don't think women out there really know what the genesis is of pubic hair over time. So when you're prepubescent, before you've had your, you know, the onset of your menstrual cycle and everything, you don't have hair there, right?
Right.
And then you do have hair. And then what, at roughly what age does the pubic hair begin to change? Everything from color, we're talking about grays here, to the amount that you have. Yeah. So tell us about that.
It's highly variable. So depending on your hair type and hair color to begin with and your genetics, it can happen as late as in your 60s or 70s or as young as in your 40s. And redheads tend to keep their color a little bit longer and have more hair than any other skin type or hair color type. So redheads, by definition, have the highest density of hair follicles.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a little bit darker. So even women who have blonde hair can have darker pubic hair. It won't be black, but it'll be a darker brown than the hair on the scalp, mostly because it's not exposed to light. And then people with dark hair have dark hair, and it's typically curlier than the hair on your head for a reason, right? Because it's going to, as you mentioned, trap things so that it's protecting your body
right.
in an area
right.
that in the past would maybe be exposed. And then what happens is just like the hair on your head thins, hair down there in the pubic area can also thin. So it can go gray, completely gray, which makes laser impossible as you're older, but also it can thin out to the point of completely disappearing. And as a dermatologist, seeing so many people in all states of, you know, disrobing, I see a lot of naked people over the years. And women, as they get older, tend to naturally lose their pubic hair, even if they keep the hair on their head. And so, you know, I always think of it as something that's associated with being older. And that's why I don't understand why people would get rid of it all, because later they may miss it. Or maybe if you do it younger, you won't feel old when you're older. I don't know. But I have had women who've actually had
transplants. Well, you know, your point is extremely well taken. Yep. But, you know, your point is really well taken. And I think young women, especially out there, don't know what's going to happen down the line.
You just laid
it out for us. And so, you know, here's your big FYI out there in her land, and that is you might want to reconsider taking off all your hair and just, you know, as you said so well, doing a cleanup with some laser if you want to. But basically shaving is really the go-to place for keeping a grand majority of it there. Now, let me ask you a question. What kind of shaver? I asked that earlier, but
yes,
I think it got lost in there.
But I digress.
What kind of shaver do you recommend?
So the shavers are kind of
easy to do.
There are so many. One of the problems I have with shavers are that people tend to hang on to them for a long time. And I find that while they're willing to like buy so many other new things, they'll keep that shaver. And there are brands that are around for a long time. They're designed for women. This is an area that has some curves. So you want a razor that has a little bit of flexibility that can curve with the body a little bit. You can use a single blade. There's two blades, three blades, five blades. They're all fine, but the main thing is, one, to have the skin as hydrated as possible. This means shave in the shower or towards the end of the shower when there's the most moisture in the skin and the hair is the softest. Never, ever shave dry, ever. Never shave dry skin. That's just going to irritate the skin. You won't get a good shave, and you'll create problems for yourself. So don't do that. You start yourself on a very bad cycle. So always shave in or towards the end of the shower. Use a proper shaving gel or shaving cream. Let it sit on the area for, 30 seconds or so it has time to get absorbed into the skin a little bit and soften the hair. And then know this. When you have a razor, let's say it has one dull spot on it because you've kept it a little too long. That one dull spot is going to create nicks in the skin. And when you think about how you pass that razor over every part of your skin, that one dull spot will hit every part of your skin. And so you can end up just the one little spot on the razor that's no good. You can really mess up your skin. So if you see your skin starting to get some nicks or a little bit of irritation, the first thing to do is look at your razor, make sure that it's in good condition. Otherwise, change your razor. And if you are someplace...
Now, how often should you be changing the razor? How often do you want to do that?
Well, it can be as often as every 3 to 5 shaves, or you can go more often depending on the amount of body surface area you're shaving and the texture of your skin and hair. So I would say probably every 3 to 5 to 7 shaves of your full leg.
Okay, now, what can you just throw out maybe one or two brands so women understand what you're talking about here?
Well, Gillette is a great brand, and there's the Gillette Venus. That's a great brand within a brand, but Gillette's always, I think, one of the most creative razor companies that I've seen. And they have travel ones, they have home ones, they have a whole bunch of different, they have ones that already have some moisturizer built into the shaver head. So that's kind of good too. And the idea of adding more blades is that if you have, let's say, 5 blades that are kind of stacked up in the razor, then you really only have to do one pass. Like one pass is the equivalent of 5 passes because those 5 blades are not only going to capture the hair, but any hair that's left will get caught by the next blade or the one after that. So the idea there is that you don't make as many passes and that's less irritation for the skin. And if you should
I love it.
Yep. And if you should happen to be out of shaving gel, but you really have to shave, don't go to your shampoo or soap. Try conditioner instead, because conditioner at least is going to soften the skin and the hair, and that'll give you a better shave than trying to use soap or shampoo to just hide, to
moisten. Oh, my gosh. Dr. Day, I've been doing it all wrong.
Well,
oh, no, I have been so busted. Oh, yeah. My gosh, this is why all of us have you, Dr. Doris Day, because honestly, at the end of the day, busted. I mean, I know I keep my shave around, and that's for all things that I shave, my legs and the rest of it, way too long. I think I just literally forget about it, and what you've just done is give a really great wake-up call and increase our awareness about the fact that we need to stay on top of this. No wonder we keep picking up those little nicks on our skin and those little folliculitis areas because we're not even paying attention to how we're shaving and what we're shaving with and how long, we take care of it. So it's really important for us to stay on top of that. Good news is at least I'm using the right product. I mean, what you mentioned is exactly what I use as well. And that really helps us tremendously. So this has just been absolutely, honestly fascinating. Really learning about the genesis of, pubic hair. Let's just call it what it is. And realizing it does go through changes throughout a woman's a lifetime. And that, you don't want to be taking away all of the hair. And that you want to hold on to it because, honey, it's going to get thinner and kind of start disappearing later in life, starting with even as early as the age of 40, as you mentioned. So that's important because we do want some of that. And that, interestingly, it really doesn't cause a whole lot of problems to groom down there. So long as you do it carefully, that waxing is not the way to go. That laser, a combination of laser and shaving, both being done by experts, in terms of the laser and then guiding with the shaving by someone like yourself, a dermatologist who's so well experienced with all of this, that's really the way to go if indeed you're going to make any of these changes. I was just thinking about this one last little piece, and you said that if you sweat a lot, you know me by now, and that is I rant and rave about people making sure, especially women out there, getting out there and being fit. And when you're going out there and doing high intensity exercise and all the rest of it, we're sweating. We're kind of sweating all over the place. I wonder, would you recommend that women who are really getting much more fit and really getting into maybe competing, in marathons and all the rest of it, would you actually, as a dermatologist, recommend that they groom more there?
No, only if they have a problem. If there's okay. an issue, then they can. Otherwise, even if they don't groom more, we can easily treat it. There's a great powder called Zeosorb powder that you can just sprinkle on your body and your feet and your shoes right down there, and it will absorb moisture. So it's still a personal choice. And if someone seems to have a problem, then it's a conversation to have with your doctor. But it's not always necessary if you don't want to. And if you want to,
wow.
it's fine too. Yep. So you still have
yeah.
choices.
Oh, I just love this. I mean, this has been eye-opening. I'm running down and finding where I put my razor, and I'm going to switch that out for a brand new one. Oh, my gosh. You have just turned us all on to this. No, this has really been incredibly informative. All right. Wow. We have been talking to Dr. Doris Day, board-certified dermatologist who specializes in laser cosmetic and surgical dermatology in New York City. And frankly, she's our Her Podcast go-to dermatologist for all of these pretty amazing subjects. And today we've been talking about, well, what's going on down there? Pubic hair trends. Dr. Day's book is Forget the Facelift. Turn back the clock with Dr. Day's revolutionary four-step program for ageless skin. Her website is myclearskin.com. I'll do it again, myclearskin.com. Just an absolute fount of knowledge on all things woo-ee, women's skin. Hey, listen, remember to catch every episode of Her. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at radiomd.com, and please take, 30 seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you to the show, and that happens when you take the time to rate it. While you're at it, can you leave a review as well? Hey, remember, my mother reads these things, so make it good. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at Pam Peek MD, and you can also check out our Her Radio Show page at radiomd.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening. And stay well.